Hello, my name is Andrew Gamason, and it's my privilege to welcome you to the Speaking for Him podcast. I'm so glad that you have decided to spend some time with us today, and I hope that you will find some encouragement for your Christian journey, because we know that the Christian walk is a marathon and not a sprint, and we need each other. One of my favorite things to do on the Speaking for Him podcast is to allow other people to come on and share the stories of how God transformed their lives. And I think you will really enjoy today's broadcast. I will be sharing an interview with Vanessa Rosa, who goes by Gothics on YouTube. I discovered her, I think, during the 2020 lockdowns, and I thought that she gave a very intriguing view on the political landscape of our day. Further investigation led me to her testimony video, where she outlined what it meant to her to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I love the perspective that she has, that the Lord Jesus led her from a victim mentality that our culture was telling her to embrace to the reality that she is a victor because of what the Lord has done on the cross and in her life personally. Before we dig into that interview, I want to share with you our quote of the day. Our quote of the day comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, and it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And this is one of Vanessa's favorite verses, because she really feels like God used people in her life to tell her about Jesus, and then Jesus did a transforming work that only he could do in her life. And that is really what the Christian life is all about. Because without Jesus, all of us would be hopeless. Without a resurrected Christ, we would be dead in our trespasses and sins. But because he is risen, we can be alive in him. Because he is risen, we can die to ourselves and live unto Christ. And I really see that in the story of Vanessa, a.k.a. Gothics, and I think you will as well. And if you really like this interview, I would encourage you to look up Gothics on YouTube and check out some of her videos. She has an infectious enthusiasm for life, and I was really encouraged by this interview. And so without further ado, here is my interview with Gothics. Well, it is my privilege today to welcome a YouTuber that I have been following for some time now. Her moniker is Gothics. Her name is Vanessa, and I'm thrilled to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to meet you and hopefully have some great conversation that, you know, maybe will resonate with a lot of people.
Well, I think I discovered you during 2020, because all anybody was doing was sitting at home on YouTube, and also because we were dealing with a culture gone mad, which is still mad, but it would really got to a boiling point in 2020 with all of the riots and all of the polarizing situations that we found ourselves in, and the inability to disagree civilly with one another is a big issue. And as I think I told you, when we were conversing via email, I do my main Speaking for Him podcast, which this is, but then I also do a Monday podcast where I talk about, political issues from a Christian perspective. And I just remember finding your material very refreshing. First of all, how you kind of went from being a liberal Democrat to realizing that conservative values weren't nuts, but then also hearing your testimony video about how, more importantly, Jesus Christ changed your life. So that's why I've asked you to be on the show today, and I'm super thrilled that you're here. I just wanted to start at the beginning. Could you tell me a little bit about your childhood and your growing up years?
Yeah, so my childhood, I was not raised in any religious context. In fact, when I was in high school, I started dabbling in witchcraft. And so I did that for a couple of years, and I was also very, very liberal. I think, you know, I don't know about other cultures, but within the Black community, if you will, there's sort of this, idea that you are born Democrat. And so that's sort of like what, I was living my life based off of, was just progressive Democrat values and also witchcraft. And, so, I mean, I had a pretty good childhood. My parents got divorced, when I was also maybe a little bit before high school. My mom did the best that she could. And I had a lot of resentment towards my dad because he had a drinking problem. He was abusive at times. I don't really talk about that, as much as maybe I should, perhaps, because I've since forgiven him, but you know, that ties in later to like the me finding Christ. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, I was just a very wild teenager.
Okay. So I know when you first started out on the political issues, you were on the liberal side of things, but how did you first, become interested in speaking out about politics?
Oh yeah. So I've never liked politics like at all. It's so interesting because I had a lot of opinions about politics, but I didn't actually know anything about politics and I wasn't interested in actually informing myself. I sort of just went along with whatever people were doing. And so me being a Black woman, it's expected that I'm supposed to support Obama, support anything that, is supposed to benefit the Black community. And that's about the extent of the political knowledge that I had. I had a lot of also, a lot of moral stances on like the LGBT or back then it was only three letters. And I just knew in my head that the side that I'm on supports these things that I love and I care about these people. And the other side has all of the, crazy bigoted Christians that I don't want to associate with. And so that's how I was for pretty much my entire life until 2020, when, as you said, most people were staying at home and you're kind of forced to pay attention to a lot of the unrest and division in society because no one's having a conversation anymore. And so that prompted me to start asking questions. So it wasn't even that I really was interested in talking about politics. It's like I was sort of forced into that arena because I knew in my heart some things that I was standing for or didn't support. I believed those things to be true. And so I was like, well, I gotta inform myself about what's really going on because something is off in society.
So you kind of alluded to it in the last question, but can you tell me what was the pivotal moment, if there was one, or maybe it was just so gradual you can't think of one, but what was the pivotal moment where you really made the switch from liberal to conservative? And I guess alongside that, did you become conservative before you met the Lord?
Yeah. So I guess I should preface that I do align with a lot of conservative values, but since finding the Lord, I don't try to label myself politically because now I've come to understand that a lot of these labels, even conservatism, is so like it's been rebranded. I look at conservatism and I don't even know what it is anymore because conservatives are just I feel like they're taking a lot of liberal baggage into conservatism. And so it's just, it's a mess. So the only thing that I'm confident in labeling myself as is a follower and believer of Jesus Christ. But as far as what prompted me, or what was the pivotal moment, I think it was a combination of a couple of things. Well, the first is, for those who don't know, I am a full-time content creator. I make YouTube content, but I originally started on a platform called Twitch, and I would just stream video games. I would dress up as different characters and just engage with my audience. And I was pretty successful on that platform, not to the degree that I think my YouTube channel is now, but I was building an audience for myself. And I had aligned myself within a community of other Black content creators, because I believed them when they said that, well, if you want to grow as a content creator, you need the support of other Black creators, because it's more difficult for us to grow in this field. Usually the people that are more successful in this field are white. And so I believed that for a while. And so I grew my audience, and I also network with a lot of people in these online communities. And basically, long story short, they turned on me literally overnight, because I saw on social media that people were throwing the race card around and accusing people of being racist over people's reservations about Disney hiring a Black actress to play the Little Mermaid. Like, I in my mind, I thought that this was so ridiculous, and this is not a valid reason to call someone racist just because they're expecting the Little Mermaid to be white. And so I went online and I said, can we just, you know, talk about why are people doing this? And instantly people called me racist. They called me anti-Black. They called me that I hate myself. And I'm like, where are these things coming from? And then a couple of months after that, that's when the George Floyd Black Lives Matter protests started. And once again, I saw people justifying nonsense. You know, I asked again on social media, what does stealing a 70-inch TV have to do with fighting against police brutality? And no one could give me an answer. All I got was vitriol from people that looked like me on social media. And so then I started putting two and two together, that in both instances, I was dealing with Black leftists. And so in my mind, I said, okay, there is something about the ideology that these people have built their lives on that I don't obviously align with. And I need to find out what it is, because I know that stealing is wrong. And I know people aren't racist just because they have a preference for, you know, an actress in a movie. And then when I voted, you know, for Trump, that was the nail in the coffin, I think.
How is it that you came to know the Lord Jesus personally? Because I know when I first started watching your videos, I was like, she seems to be someone who has the moral compass, but I'm not sure where she stands with the Lord. And as someone who's on fire for Jesus, that's something I always look at with my content creators. And then I saw your video sharing some of the details of your testimony. But can you just tell us how Jesus reached into your life and became a part of it in a personal way?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny that you mentioned your observation when you found me. It's oh, she must have some type of a moral compass. There's actually a video, a clip rather, from my YouTube channel of someone in my chat asking me that exact question. What is your standard for morality? And if I look back on that clip, I'm literally just spacing out, looking up at the ceiling, because I couldn't figure it out. No one ever asked me that question before. Like, where do I get my standard for morality? And, but pretty much after I started to receive a lot of vitriol from leftists and fellow colleagues and friends, even, that's when I made the move from Twitch to YouTube, and I decided to start making videos about things that are on my mind. And through that process, my friend Graham, who is a filmmaker, was on YouTube one day, and the algorithm just happened to recommend one of my videos. And one of my videos specifically was titled "White Privilege is a Crutch." And so he thought that he was going to click on this video and be scolded by a black leftist because I have a very interesting haircut. And he thought, okay, here's another video of someone just, you know, putting down white people. And according to him, he was surprised about the things that came out of my mouth. And so he reached out to me and asked if I would be interested in having a documentary made about me since he does filmmaking. And so I agreed, and he flew out to Rhode Island, and we started the process of recording. I think he was here for about a week. And when we weren't recording, we would have some downtime, and he would just randomly ask me things about my life. Like, he had a genuine curiosity and concern about what was going on in my life. And one of the things that he asked was about my depression, because at the time I was still recovering from losing a lot of friends and having my entire audience and even business partners just disassociate from me because of my opinions. And so that put me in a really bad mental headspace. I was numbing myself with weed. I was very self-destructive. And so he asked me, so you're depressed. What are you doing to help that? And I responded, oh, I'm smoking weed. I'm on antidepressants. And he says, is that helping? And again, I'm faced with to, you know, consider my own logic here. And I said, no, it's not helping. And then that sort of started to gently lead into the topic of spirituality. He told me that he was a Christian and that his family owns a Christian boarding house out in Idaho. Eventually they flew me out to meet his family in Idaho, and my mind was totally blown when it came to my perceptions on Christians, because prior to that I would just say, okay, Christianity is whatever the media shows me. It's these angry people who hate gay people, who hate, you know, anything that doesn't revolve around the Bible. That's what was in my head. And then I meet his family, and they're so gracious. They're so nice. They're so kind. And I think the thing that really stuck out to me was these people are willing to hear my opinions and not attack me for it, which I'm not used to. I'm used to being attacked for my opinions from people who think that they have the moral high ground. And so when I came back to Rhode Island, I randomly on Facebook got recommended a Christmas event at a local church. And the Christmas event said that they had a petting zoo and they had food trucks. And I said, I want to go for the food trucks. I don't really care about the sermon. I just want to go to the food trucks. So I go there, and I actually stayed for the sermon. I stayed for the whole worship and everything. And once again, I started to notice, because I'm very aware to these things now. Like, I just like pick apart things and start to put pieces together. And I'm looking at the service, and I'm looking at the people worshiping, and I'm seeing that same glow from the people in my local church to the family of my friend who's a filmmaker. I'm seeing everyone's just glowing, and they're joyful. And this is in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of BLM protests, where logically I would expect people to be very upset and chaotic, and they're just radiating with joy. And I couldn't understand what that is. And fast forward a couple of months after we went to that church service, my now husband, he surrendered to Christ. And once again, I saw him radiating with joy. And I'm like, what is, something must be in the water. I don't know what this is. And eventually, I made the decision to surrender to the Lord. I actually had to do it twice, because the first time I didn't fully understand. I just wanted Jesus to fix my problems ASAP. I want the joy that I see in my husband and all these other people. I want that. I don't want to be depressed anymore. And so I had to go back and resurrender correctly, because I now understood that I was doing it for the wrong reasons. It was selfish. And that's not why anyone should follow Jesus. And so that's pretty much it. It was just a process of me analyzing the people around me who said that they love the Lord, and realizing that it's not what the world tells us it is. And it's something that you just have to experience on your own.
That is so much the heart of my ministry, because I grieve so much for people that will say, well, I used to be a Christian, but now I'm not. Or I tried to be a Christian, but now I'm not. And it was just a farce, or it was just not real. And the thing that I always go back to is, if you have that position, then you don't understand that Christianity is a work of the Holy Spirit. It can't be done by Vanessa. It can't be done by Andrew. It has to be done by Jesus. And we have to surrender to allow him to do that. And I can resonate with you too about this idea of Jesus fixing your problems. Cause I was raised in a Christian home. I'm very thankful for that. But I'm physically disabled. I'm in a wheelchair every day of my life. And I came to know the Lord when I was 5 years old, but I still woke up the next day in a wheelchair. And I still had to walk through the issues dealing with self-acceptance. I had 9 years where I knew I was going to heaven, but I hated my temporary assignment of being in this wheelchair for this earthly life. And it wasn't until I was about 14 years old that I fully surrendered to God in ministry, because I always told him, if you heal me, then I'll minister for you. Then I'll do the work of the ministry to which you've called me. If you heal me, then I can do that. But because I'm crippled, I can't. And God finally got through to me after the death of my baby brother, which was the worst day of my entire life. And I just wanted to end my life at that point. But he got through to me and said, you just need to get off the throne of your life and let me take over, and I will do great and mighty things through you, which you know not. And this podcast is part of that. So I definitely resonate with you that we don't follow Jesus because he solves all the problems. We follow him because he walks with us through the problems. And I don't know if you are familiar with The Chosen, but in The Chosen season 3, there's a scene with Jesus and little James, because the actor that plays little James has cerebral palsy, which is actually a less severe form of the disability that I have. And Dallas Jenkins decided to explain why Jesus didn't heal him by having them have this conversation about the fact that if he was healed, he would bring glory to God. But how great would it be for him to be healing and helping others, even if he's not physically healed? And when I watched that scene, I was like, has he heard me talking to God so many nights on my bed? Because it felt like my testimony on screen. But I definitely resonate with the fact that your problems don't go away because you follow Jesus, but he is with you in your problems. So that's a great story. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that he used so many people around you, because that reminds me of the fact that you never know when you're going to impact somebody for Christ. And it's not always about going to them and preaching the 3-point sermon. Sometimes it's just living Jesus and answering questions when you have the opportunity. Like this gentleman that helped you with your documentary, he was coming to tell your story, but then he realized that you needed Jesus and he wasn't afraid to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And it's because people ask me all the time, why did you become a Christian? And it's not even a want. Like I wasn't seeking. God found me where I was at that moment. And it was like, I needed him, but I wasn't looking for him. Once I knew of him, I said, yeah, fix my problems. But now it's like, okay, the question of why do I remain a Christian? It's because I can't function without him. Like he is the air in my lungs. It's kind of crazy to think in retrospect how I've lived my entire life on my own. It's in a way, it's harder, but it's not easy, or it's easy, it's not hard. It's weird. It's following Jesus comes with its whole different types of obstacles, if you will, from the world, because you're automatically against the world, really. But it's so much more satisfying than doing everything on your own.
Well, as the Apostle Peter said, when so many disciples left Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000, didn't become the second feeding of the 5,000.
It says many of his disciples went away from him from that hour, and Peter and Jesus said, will you 12 also go away? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. And I have fallen back on the truth of that scripture so many times through the years, because yes, from a human perspective, there have been times when it seems like it would be advantageous to walk away from the Lord and from everything I was raised with. But the reason I'm a Christian isn't because my parents are Christians. The reason I'm a Christian is because I've seen God work in my life on a regular basis to draw me close to himself. And even when I was angry at God for that year after my brother died, I never stopped talking to him. I yelled at him a lot, but I never stopped talking to him because I knew that he was real. And in the back of my head, even when I was struggling, I knew that he would ultimately answer my deepest needs, even though I didn't realize what I needed at the time. So how did you happen to choose the moniker Gothics?
Yeah. So really in high school, I used to dress really goth. I don't think I dress goth now. Although, yeah, I have. I like a punk rocker look. I love alternative rock and grunge and stuff like that. So my current wardrobe reflects that. But back in high school, like, I was pretty goth. I had the trench coat, you know, I had the dark makeup. And so, it really stemmed from me dressing gothic in high school. And then also, I love video games, and so one of my usernames was Gothic's Model, and so I pretty much just continued using that name literally from high school and started using it for my content creation, and then I just shortened it to Gothic's because no one ever called me the whole username, and that's pretty much it.
It's awesome to hear that, even if it is simple. I know I've had certain nicknames through the years. One of them was Turbo, simply because I ride around on wheels all the time. So, you know, sometimes the simplest nicknames are the best. So with your Gothics YouTube channel, you talk about a lot of issues that many people would term controversial. You try to challenge people to be aware of what's going on in their culture and to speak out against things that are not right, even though they are cultural norms. So what would you say to someone who asks you why we as Christians should be civically minded? Because I know certain people have told me that I shouldn't speak out as much about political issues because I should just care about the gospel. And I deeply care about the gospel. But I also believe that we are put here to shine as lights in our culture. And if we're not a part of our culture, how can we do that? So I'm just curious how you would answer that question, because someone might say, well, you can just go and live your life and let other people live theirs, and you don't have to do another video that offends people. So what would you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I get the same types of comments on my channel, where I talk about a lot of cultural issues where I'm not even explicitly citing anything from the Bible. And some Christians are confused, like, well, you're a Christian now, you should be talking about the gospel, you know, and my perspective is, from experience, from someone who, ran from God pretty much my entire life, a lot of people have a tendency to tune you out, if you just go straight for the finish line. And so that's why I think it's important to also consider the cultural discourse when it comes to sharing the gospel, because some people you gotta spoon feed them, if you will. But from a more direct perspective, as it relates to politics, politics is so important. Again, I'm not a fan of politics; I find it boring. But Christians, if they're passionate about sharing the gospel, they should be concerned about the political arena, because the political arena can get to determine whether or not we can share the gospel. I think in Canada, they passed a bill where they've classified certain parts of scripture as hate speech. And so, you know, this is the result of people taking their moral values to the ballot box. And then the end result is Christians aren't able to effectively share the good news with people that don't know Jesus because it's considered hate speech or bigotry or any of these other buzzwords. And so, yeah, it's super important. And, you know, I try to get people to recognize it on both sides of the aisle, the non-believers and then also the Christians, about how culture and politics intersects with spirituality. Because when people go to vote, they're voting based off of their values, off of their morals, which stems from somewhere. I think we should be involved, but we should also, I think there's a fine line as well, because I've also seen people go to the extreme where they claim to be followers of Jesus, but then they put certain politicians on a pedestal as if they are the Messiah. And I think that's also really bad. So there's a balance there. You know, engaging, but also recognizing who is our true savior in this whole thing.
Absolutely. And the thing that I go back to, and the reason that I started talking about news and current events was actually 2020 when the riots started and I was in lockdown, and lockdown was a daily part of life. I started out by just doing my lockdown update at the beginning of every podcast that I did, because for the first few weeks I was like, I'm going to get back to my radio studio where I was doing it for 7 years. Within a few weeks, but then 3 weeks became 6 weeks, became 12 weeks. And I was like, if I don't get equipment and learn to do this by myself, I may never get back to the studio. And then within like 6 or 8 weeks of then, I knew I was gonna keep doing the podcast here at home, which was great because I can schedule my own interviews. I can do all my own stuff without waiting for someone to open the studio for me. But all that being said, that's why I started to do some political commentary, because to me, every political issue is a moral issue. And so if we don't have some sort of idea of what our view is on it, like you said, we can be swept away by the culture. And I just think about the scriptures too, because I think about the fact that when God came to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, Moses didn't say, let me pray about it, and God say, okay, cool. No, they argued for a chapter and a half about whether Moses could in fact lead the people out of Israel. But the main factor there was God, because God said, I will give you the words to say, I will lead you, you just go. And so I just really feel like there's a need for that kind of discussion and to think about things from a Christian perspective. Because the reason there's so much chaos in this culture is because we don't have a definitive moral standard as a society.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree with you. And it breaks my heart. Like, I really feel for people, because oftentimes people will follow my channels, and a lot of people have been following me since I started going on YouTube. And they, you know, they'll say, you know, you're very logical, Gothics, you're very logical about these issues. It's a breath of fresh air. But the religious talk, can you just tone it down? You know, I find it that's totally irrelevant. And it's these people, they don't understand that they are arguing with the same thing, with the same framework of the people that they're criticizing. So when they look out in the world and they see all of the evil, or what they perceive to be evil, it's like, okay, well, why are these people doing evil? Is it because they believe that what they're actually doing is good? You know, how can you justify your standard of what is good and what is wrong if you're just going based off your own personal intuition or what society says is okay? You know, you have to be anchored by a moral standard that transcends humanity. Otherwise, it's just a matter of personal opinion.
And it's always interesting how they agree with your truth, my truth moral standard until you take their cell phone. Then they demand that you give it back because you have invaded their personal autonomy. You have stolen something of theirs, and that is totally unacceptable. Well, why is that unacceptable? Because we have an objective moral standard in our society still, even though a lot of them are fleeing, that says taking someone else's property is not right. And whether they want to believe it or not, it comes from the book of Exodus, where God clearly said, thou shalt not steal. So my next question for you would be, do you have a favorite Bible verse, or maybe just one that's running through your mind as you converse with the Lord in recent days?
Yeah, well, I always go back to Romans 12:2, which was the Bible verse that I read that really resonated with me when I had first started reading the Bible. And this is before I even gave my life to Christ. And I believe it's the, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when I read that, that was at the right moment, because I was looking and seeing people be so angry and disappointed in me not supporting a lot of these social justice movements. And I was being led to believe that I am a terrible person for not supporting these things, supporting Black Lives Matter, things like that. And so I read this and I'm just like, wait. So then I started to think, okay, there is obviously a choice here. People either choose to follow God's way or choose to follow the world. So why is it that I have to follow the world? Why is there this sort of this expectation for me to do that? And so, that passage has always stuck with me. Even now as a believer, I still get the sense that even a lot of Christians fall in to that category of conforming to the patterns of the world. It reminds me of throughout scripture, there are people who are trying to add additional rules into the word of God. You know, in order for you to follow Jesus, you have to do X, Y, and Z. And I see that a lot now, you know, when people ask me about like, the way that I dress, how come you haven't covered up your tattoos or something like that? And to me, it's sort of like, in a way, you're still following the patterns of the world. You know what I mean? And so like, I don't know, that passage, it's applicable in so many instances, like the behavior of the people within social justice. And then also the behavior of a lot of believers that sort of backslide into that category of doing everything that the world does, but just under a religious lens, if you will. But yeah, I would say that's my favorite one.
I really appreciate you sharing with us today and hearing more of your story. And I really appreciate your enthusiasm and candor. I was just wondering, as we wrap up here, is there anything else you would like to share that may be something that God is teaching you in 2024?
Oh, yeah. I think to get out of my own head, this past year, I would say I've really struggled with loosening the grip on, the things that I've been doing on YouTube and stuff like that. And I have always been a perfectionist. And what I've noticed is that when I try to do it my way and be a perfectionist to do something, I end up not moving at all. It's just a standstill. Nothing gets done. And it's because I have been still trying to rely on my old way of doing things, even though I have good intentions with what I want to do. I want to share the good news with everyone. I'm a big perfectionist. And so I feel that God is telling me to relax, let go, and let me take the lead.
That can be a difficult thing. I remember when I graduated from college, my biggest objectives were to get a great full-time job so that I could buy a house, so that I could eventually have a wife and raise a family and be a responsible man in the process of doing it. And I had to realize that when God calls you to do something, it's not always going to work out the way you think it is. Like when I first surrendered to my speaking ministry, I thought, well, I'm going to have 45 Sundays a year that I'm going to be preaching, and I'm going to be preaching to hundreds and hundreds of people. And God's like, no, I want to do a work in your ministry, but even if you only speak to 5 or 10 or 30 people, I'm going to make sure that the people who need to hear you are there. and I'm going to reach people when you least expect it. I received a email a couple of years ago, right around my birthday, which said that somebody in Australia had discovered my podcast and that it had reached out to them and ministered to them. And I was like, I usually have 20 to 30 people that listen every week. Occasionally I'll have one that bumps up more, but I never expected to hear from someone from the other side of the world that is listening and being encouraged. And so that was a huge encouragement. And it's usually when I get the most angsty and complainy toward God that he does something miraculous in my ministry. And he's like, see, I told you I was there. I told you I'm working. And he always is, even when we don't think he is. But every once in a while, he lets us see it. And it's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I really appreciate this conversation. I hope that it will be a blessing to everyone listening. If you have any feedback, please make sure that you contact me with the contact information that's about to roll at the end of the show. And if you have anything specific for Gothics, I will make sure to pass it on to her when you reach out. With that being said, I will simply say, have a great week and keep serving the best of masters.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Your host has been Andrew Gomeson, founder of Speaking for Him. For more information on today's show and to leave us comments and voicemails, visit speakingforhim.blogspot.com. You can find Andrew's ministry at speakingforhim.com. That's speaking, the number 4, H-I-M. You can also interact with us at facebook.com/speakingforhim and on Twitter at Speaking for Him. And when you look for us on iTunes and Stitcher, let us know what you think of the podcast by leaving a rating and review.